Hello, Dwayne Brummett here with Allie Alvarigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dwayne, and it's great talking to you. Talked in a week or so, so we've been busy running around, and I had some guests in from out of town and from England that came in and visited and taught at my school, so it's been a little hectic, but I'm glad to be back on the phone with you.
Yeah, it's nice to be with you. So I know that we've got a quick call today. You and I have got a lot on our plate, but we definitely wanted to get out some good content for our school owners to help them out.
Yeah, you know what? And I think sometimes a smaller call rather than a longer call, people appreciate that too, because they're not locked in for very, very long, and they could just get some quick advice and move on. And it's great because, you know, starting off your Monday correctly is the best thing you could possibly do. Knowing even if it's just for energy to get a good change of mindset, or it's just for, a new thought-provoking, system or something like that, or idea. So I think it's a great way to start the week.
Yeah, perfect. I just want to let you know you're kind of cutting in and out. I don't know if you are on your cell phone or what you're on, but you're kind of cutting in and out a little bit.
No, I'm actually on my – is this any better?
Say that again.
Is this any better?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, before when I said, is this any better, and you said, say that again, I guess it wasn't better. but okay, I'm hoping that people were able to hear what I had to say about the whole entire thing about Monday mornings and starting off on the right foot and getting motivated to start your week. That's what I was really talking about.
Yeah, so let's get on the topic.
Yeah, let's do it, because we do have a limited amount of time. So here's one thing. Let's talk about the mindset of a business owner, not necessarily even a school owner, but really mostly a business owner. And give me some things that you think that business owners have to have in order to be successful. What are some of your ideas, real quickly?
Well, definitely you have to have a love for the business that you're in. And,
right.
Whether it be martial arts or restaurant business or what have you, it's got to be something that you're passionate about. Otherwise, you're not going to put in the long hours that are needed to be able to build the business and to have it run. And, not everything runs on autopilot, but to have it start to run on autopilot, the things that can run on autopilot. So you got to love the business. You've got to always be searching for the things that are going to make your life easier, meaning better employees or this computer system or this website or whatever it is, those type of things that'll make your life easier.
Right. And you know what? You're the master of automation and organization, and I spent some time with you at your school. I got to see, how you do take that time to automate and make systems that could help you. And the important part about this is not just make it easy for you, but make it so that you're never forgetting or missing or skipping some tasks that are super important but sometimes get avoided or missed, right? So in other words, you even have it automated where you could send out birthday cards, where it's a company that you use and all you do is click a button and you send them the address and then they send out the cards. You have cards that are predetermined, you have cards that are handwritten with your signature and different sayings, and it's very automated. And that's an amazing thing. What do you think about that?
Well, it just makes my life a lot easier. And you're right. I don't miss anything. The problem is when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, thanks for the birthday card. This sounds horrible to say that I have to play it off. I don't mean it that way, but I have to, or they'll say a thanks for the card. And then I have to start thinking, okay, what card,
Right.
I always say, you're welcome. But
yeah, and it's okay that you do have to feel you have to play it off, because it is an automated process and you have a million other things going on in your life. And if we want to do things right as business owners, we have to really check a lot of boxes. You know, people, when I, and we've talked about this, when I first started my school, I had no clue that it was going to be this intricate business with systems and bookkeeping and sales and marketing funnels and websites and how do I get people in the door. If I, you know, all of those things, if I still thought like I did, you know, 25 years ago, I'd be out of business like many school owners or struggling to make a living, and my school is still thriving. And it's because I have all of those systems in place and the things that I do to have over-the-top service, just like you. However, there's a lot of them. It's not that easy. It's, there's so many things to remember and so many things to do to build this experience, right, and education process. So, I mean, and you've kind of automated some of those. That's not taking away from it. It's just making it so that you don't have to think about it anymore. And I think that's amazing. I applaud you on all of that.
Well, thank you. It reminds me, yesterday I had a speaking engagement for a church group, and I was speaking on goal setting. And one of the things that I was talking with them about was I decided, you know, a long time ago that I did not have to do everything in my business. Where,
right.
You know, for a long time I was doing the bookkeeping, and I hated it. I just,
right.
And I still hate it. So I had found a bookkeeper who, you know, actually lives in Indianapolis. I mean, I'm just about 60 miles south of Chicago. So, you know, she lives in Indianapolis and she does everything via the internet, and I don't have to do anything. I mean, we stay in communication. We probably talk once a month, if that. And it's beautiful, but I decided that I didn't have to do everything in my business as long as I could find the right people and it fit the budget. I mean, obviously the things that you do have to fit the budget. But having her do it and paying her what she's worth does cost me, but in the end, it actually makes me more money because it allows me to be able to do the other more important things that, that do bring in the money. The bookkeeping doesn't bring in the money. It just makes sure that everything's in order so that the IRS doesn't come back after me.
Right, right. And you know what? And there's the thing. And there's some. I want to pull out a few very important statements that you made. You know, first off, in the beginning of the call, you know, we talk about, you know, like, you know, you and I, before we came on the line, we talked about passion, right? And then you mentioned passion. You got to love what you do. That's important, right? Then you talked about, you know, some things like bookkeeping that you absolutely hate. And, you know, probably if you were forced to do it, it would make your life miserable. And you'd probably put it off to the last minute. You'd probably be terrible at it. You probably wouldn't want to do it the way you would if you were passionate about it. So the most logical solution is to find someone who knows what they're doing, who's good at it, to do it, right? And that's what most business owners, karate school owners especially, because we're all control freaks to some extent, right? We want to control it all. That's what we do. That's why we took martial arts, so we didn't feel like we had no control. Anyway, in our business, we tend to do the same thing. It's that age-old saying, if I can't have, you know, if people can't do it right, I'll just do it myself kind of mindset. Or I'll just do it because it'll only take me 5 minutes. It may take someone 20 minutes. Well, the whole thing is that you'll never get away from it unless you fix that problem.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I didn't really have a problem being, and I know you weren't directing this towards me, I'm just stating
right.
this, is I didn't really have a problem being a control freak because I,
right.
I guess I wanted everybody to feel like they were a part of the studio, you know, so when
right.
I would bring instructors up and teach them how to teach and, you know, turn things over to them. And yeah, it did take things off of my plate, but it also gave them the opportunity to be able to, you know, reap or feel the things that I felt. And I know we talked about this before, but, you know, even to the fact where my instructors get cards and Christmas presents and stuff like that, and I don't. And my wife at
right.
one time even said, doesn't it make you, you know, feel bad that you don't get that stuff anymore? And it actually doesn't. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. And you know what, that's where you know that you've kind of, and I don't want to use the word detached or separated, but it's kind of like you've separated yourself out from being the person that is the school, you know, what they always say is a personality-driven curriculum or school, and now your school is driven by your personality with you not even being there. Like, for example, the other day I asked all my students, I had an adult class, there's like 25 of them in there, and I said, you know, I was in on Monday, and then I was in on Wednesday teaching again, and then I asked them, I said, how many people have trained with me this week so far? And, you know, one guy said, I trained with you on Monday and today, so that's two. And I said, and other people said, just one, because I missed Monday, and now I'm here with you today. And then some said, you know, this is the only day. And I said, no, you're all wrong. I said, you've trained with me every single day because it's my curriculum. It's my lesson plans. It's my lessons that I taught to the black belts that are now teaching to you. So in essence, you're training with me every single day. You might not be personally training with me in you know, in that particular reality and time, but you are training with me. Every lesson is something that I've developed, so don't forget that, you know. And people are like, oh, I get it, you know. I said, even when you watch my DVD curriculum videos, you're training with me, right? You're there, you're learning, you're getting lessons. So people forget that sometimes, and school owners also forget that they're not shortchanging their students by sharing other instructors with them or stepping out of the picture slightly. I think it's inevitable that they have to start doing that, or else they'll always be teaching every single day of the week, all day long.
Yeah, and I think to go back to the original question too, you know, what are some things that business owners have to have is, you know, they have to have humility to a certain degree, you know, to be humble enough to fix things that need to be fixed. The other thing
right.
is, and this is on the other end of the spectrum, I think, but you have to be immune to criticism.
Right.
And so you everything that comes in, every critique that comes into you and or your business, you have to sift it. It has to go through a filter. And I remember when I first started, I took everything to heart. I wanted to please everyone. And nowadays, I mean, I guess I'm a little more callous than I was before, but I'm also a little bit more mature.
Right.
In the business, and I understand that not everything is a critique on me. So, you know, some things are actually legitimate critiques, and if I'm humble enough to listen to them, they can actually move my business forward and benefit everyone
right.
in the business. And then there are some that it's just somebody complaining, and you have to know how to handle those too. So I would say being humble in the business and then also being immune to criticism.
Right. You know, and it's interesting. It's funny. I build websites for people, and we have an amazing website company. And I had a guy the other day, a school owner, call me, and he's telling me, oh, I want to, you know, can you change this color from white to black? Because, you know, someone told me that it's not bright enough. And can you add this thing? And I'm like, listen, stop listening. Everyone all of a sudden becomes an expert. They'll tell you how to run your life, how to run your business, on what to do, you know, because they want to just voice their opinion. I said, you have to be good at sorting out, you know, listening, and not saying to ignore people, but listening to people's opinions, but being quick to sort it and not let it get to you and you know, and change your entire process, right? And that's important. And in fact, we chatted before about, you know, the problem with school owners with the analysis paralysis, where, you know, you and I both coach school owners, and they get so caught up in the getting every single detail perfect, or you know, thinking it through so many times, or waiting for the perfect time to launch or release, and they don't really ever get it done. And I have a client that I love. He's a great guy. He's been working on his website for so long, because he wants it to be perfect. It's been over a year that he's still working on the site, and it hasn't been released. I would have had the site out for him probably in 3-4 weeks, and it would have been able to be tweaked all this time, but it would have been at least out on the web doing great. However, he has nothing. So, and that's because he's analyzing, and he's paralyzed.
Yeah, and you know, the other part to that is not just analysis paralysis, but chasing your tail all the time. You know,
right.
Where I like this morning before our call, I got a phone call from my landlord, and he was letting me know that one of the spots next to me is opening up if I want to expand,
right?
If I needed it or what have you. Then he also said that the other spot next to me, there was, you know, they were complaining about us, you know, saying that we were, you know, it sounds like we're coming through the wall, and he wanted to make sure
right.
that we were putting all of our heavy bags and stuff on a certain wall. I said, yeah, they're there. I said, but I do have a padded wall on that side, and sometimes we're working take down defenses and stuff like that, and we are pushed up against the wall. I said, maybe that's what they're, you know, what they're complaining about. And what, you know, I said, but I'll go over there and talk to them. Well, he says, well, I'm going to come by and check it out, and I'm going to stop by your place. And then I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, I've got to take time out of my day. I've got to go over there. I've got to meet him. And then I thought, you know what? When he goes over there, he can call me, and then I'll – because I'm not even there. I'm at home, you know, in my office at home. Mm-hmm. So – but yeah, it's I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to worry about it. But there was a time that I would. I'd worry about it. I'd think about it. I would – yeah, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes these little things that'll come up, we start chasing our tail when it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I'm the type of guy that I hate. I really, it bothers me when people say, I need to have a talk with you later. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. And we've talked about this on one of our calls, I believe. And I don't know what it is that makes me, maybe when I was younger, someone said that to me and then I got terrible news afterwards. Like maybe a girlfriend broke up with me or something. You know, we need to talk later. And, you know, so now when someone says that to me, I'm like, no, we'll talk now. Like, we're going to talk now. Call me right this minute because I need to know or else it'll really bother me. However, I've learned over the years to not let that happen, but it took some extreme training to train myself so that I don't get frustrated. And you're right, those little things could eat you up inside, you know, just like worrying, like what's going on, what's he thinking, what's going to happen. You know, all those little things could really consume you and stop you from performing or being happy that day. And it's important for us not to analyze too much. And that's a big lesson that you're telling people, is that not to let things bother you that are really not that real, or that, you know, that possibly could be nothing more than him wanting to come over and say, hey, the things are looking good. I just wanted to check everything out and great to see you and leave.
Right. And there's a difference too, that things that you can control and things that you can't. And that was something that I had to learn, is that, you know, I can only control what I can control, and the other things, they're just going to have to play out, and I'm going to have to trust that they're going to play out in my favor.
Right, yeah, my yoga teacher, who I passed away at around 120 some odd years old, he used to say to me, while we're worrying about everything else that people are thinking or they might be thinking, he says, we're worrying, they're out tap dancing, having a good time. You know, so it's so true, though. We never know. Like, our worry is self-imposed. Our fears are self-imposed, especially when it comes in regards to, you know, this whole analysis paralysis. So for school owners, I mean, those are some big tips. We wanted to keep the call, you know, at around 15 to 20 minutes today, so we're right around that mark. So in closing, Dwayne, what are some tips about what we talked, some highlights that you would say would be some big ones? And then I'll throw them in, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, I think being immune to criticism is huge. Obviously, loving the industry that you're in is highly important, because you don't want to be selling stuff that you don't believe in. So I would say those probably two are the biggest.
Yeah. And by the way, just to add to that, you're selling stuff that you don't believe in. A lot of times the industry, our industry, is very confusing for school owners, because, you know, one day you read that it's okay to have yearly contracts, and the next guy is killing it without yearly contracts, and then the next guy is doing a month out, you know, whatever, 60-day buyout, or, you know, and the industry is, you know, there's so many ways to run your business successfully. Not one system is the only way. I mean, there are some coaches out there now that I'm very annoyed with, that, you know, their way is the only way, and everyone else's way sucks, and I don't buy that to be at all. And I think what we talk about in our next levels, you know, school owner mindset, or the way people think, is to understand that there are many ways to accomplish the same task. It really all depends on the model that you want to build. So, I mean, that's important. And then for me, my last tip is that, you know, mindset is everything. However, you know, we always talk about you don't know what you don't know. You got to at least grab on to something as a school owner, decide on who you want to be, what you want to be, how you want to run your school, and then build the model around that. There are too many school owners that have changed identity 70, 80 times in their 20-year career because they're trying to find out what works, when they should really just have been working on what they do and making it work, right? And learning how to, you know, highlight their successes and what they're good at, rather than always searching for the next brightest shiny object. So that's my tip.
Yeah, and I'll throw something in real quick is I can't tell you how many people this past week, I think, and this is, when I say how many people, it wasn't that many, like three or four, maybe five people that I saw this week that had mentioned something to me about kickboxing. I used to have a kickboxing program. They asked me if I still have a kickboxing program, and I said no, and they were all three, four, five, whatever it was, they were disappointed.
Right.
And, you know, I felt bad for a second, like, okay, there's a market that I could be getting, but I'm already full. My classes are all, like, both of my rooms are full almost 100% of the time, except for maybe morning time, but I am not getting up early anymore to do that. And so, you know, like you said, you've got to make sure that it fits your model. It fits the thing that you're wanting. And yeah, I could open up a kickboxing class and I could make money.
You could also do competition. You could also do competition badminton and, you know, basket weaving. And I'm sure with your business knowledge, you could sign it, get people up there and doing it, right? You know, but it's not what you do. And that's really the biggest problem is when people forget that, you know, it's they're always chasing the goose with the golden egg, you know. And there's many ways. And you could, you know, I once walked into a business probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and it looked like this really cool novelty store that had, like, you know, African, South African artwork and statuaries, right? And I walked in there. It was an art store. They had videotapes. They sold herbs and oils, perfume, jewelry. I mean, it was like literally like in this little 600-square-foot building, like a flea market with 27 different businesses. And yet it was empty, and the people were complaining they were going out of business, and that's the reason why is because there's just no identity. No one's coming to them. It's too much going on. So don't chase after everything. Find out what you're great at, and let's highlight that. And that's what we love. I know you and I, Duane, we love to teach our clients to really stand out above the crowd and you know, be who they are and shine for what they're amazing at, and then find that little niche marketplace within that town that they live in to be able to sell enough people to survive and make a healthy, really great living doing what they love. And that's what you and I are experts at, helping people do that without selling out. So anyway, so that's anything else you want to add or no?
Nope. I think it's good. I think, well, I hope people got some good information from this call. They should, at least.
Yeah, I don't think they couldn't. It's just great topics. But great, Duane, great chatting with you. Everyone, thanks for listening. And we, you know, we look forward to having you on one of our other calls. And please share all our calls with, you know, other people, and go back in our library and read over the topics. And we have so many calls on so many great topics. And again, it's free. We do this because we want to help you succeed in your school and really have the blessed life that Duane and I have. And we want to share that with you. So enjoy.